What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. David Faber has the morning off. Bulls do look to snap a two-day losing streak and maybe take aim at some all-time closing highs. Healthy mix of eco data and corporate news today, including Amazon, Disney, Tesla, UPS, and others. Our roadmap begins, though, with BlackRock's Larry Fink, his annual letter to shareholders emphasizing the need to focus on the country's retirement crisis. This major bridge collapse in Baltimore, rescue efforts underway after the Francis Scott Key Bridge was hit by a cargo ship. We'll take you live to the scene. And former President Trump's net worth rocketing higher, now reportedly among the world's 500 richest, as Trump Media begins trading this hour. Let's begin, though, with the message from BlackRock's Larry Fink in his annual letter to investors, the head of the world's largest asset manager, warning of a global retirement crisis, saying he's worried about the strain of an aging population on systems, including Social Security. Jim, you spoke to him. We'll hear more tonight,
yeah.
But a remarkably personal letter this year.
Oh, my. It starts with his father and mother and talks about the old days when basically the money was put away for you, and you could really make a lot of money if you kept compounding. Then think about younger people now. They think that there's very little hope. That was one of the themes that was so sad about this. We focus a tremendous amount of energy on helping people live longer lives, Larry says. But not even a fraction of that effort is spent helping people afford these extra years. So what's happened is we have this group of people who are lucky enough, our parents, to have money put away from them. And now we have this new group of people, millennials, Gen Z, who don't know how to save, don't think it's worth saving because they don't have a lot of hope, and are going to go into, well, retirement, who knows, because they can't afford it. They won't be able to afford it. This was a must-read for every single person in our country. This was his best letter yet, and it's really just saying, listen, we got to rethink when we retire. We got to think how much we put away, and we got to get younger people to embrace the capital markets.
Right. Sneak preview of Jim's conversation with Fink that happens tonight. Take a listen.
I write about fear and hope.
Yes.
I think one of the major components of fear is for so many people about how can they have financial independence, mm-hmm. but more importantly, for so many, how can you live your later years with dignity and decency? And we don't talk about the whole crisis of retirement. And this is not just a U.S. phenomenon. This is a phenomenon worldwide now. Last year, I traveled to 17 different countries, and I've never had more broad conversations about the need to think about retirement, whether it's in a middle-class developing country or it's a very advanced developed country. They're rethinking about how should we be thinking about retirement.
One of the things Larry's told us on this show is that in this country, our debates are pretty fiery and sometimes messy, but we do have them in ways that other countries don't.
Yes, and he's very optimistic about the country. He is saying that we should be embracing hope, not fear. He thinks we can grow our way out of the situation we're in with the deficit, but he doesn't think that the younger people share that. And if you don't have faith in what's going to happen in the country, if you do not believe that you're going to be doing better than your parents, which is something that was a common theme of my generation, then you may not put any money away. And if you don't put any money away, well, you're not going to be able to afford retirement. Now, when I first read this, I said, I decided I better start talking to some younger people. I haven't had the good fortune of talking to a huge number of people who are my kids' friends.
You've been going on college tours for 15 years.
21 colleges. And I found myself apologizing to Larry for not doing enough.
Not doing enough.
Not doing enough.
Come on, Jim.
No. It's our job. It's our job because the government's going away from it. The companies are going away from it. And we need to, I don't want to celebrate the markets per se, but we need to tell people that the markets are better than their bank account. And it's funny, I showed this to my daughter. It was an embargoed version, so I could not actually talk about it. But she went through all the pages, and then I see her take her phone out. I say, Emma, what are you taking a picture of? And she's taking a picture of the outperformance of BlackRock stock versus the S&P. And she says, he buried the lead. This is what you want. Darn. And, you know, my daughter, they love to invest because they've grown up in a household where
they're your kids.
Yes. And they're Karen's. And Karen was a great trader.
Yeah.
Drilled it in their heads that they should invest from day one. And they did it without me because of the problems of a conflict with my revealing something. Members of the club, can't wait for tomorrow's club meeting. But my eldest, she watches everyone at the club meetings, 10, 20. Shit, that's the right amount of time.
But
10,
that's
20,
exactly
10, 30.
What I'm talking about. Things like the club, things like the democratization of the data,
yes,
of information flow, of ETFs, of other asset classes. It's never been easier to invest.
No, it's never been easier. And you don't have to be a genius to do it. Not only that, with the new AI, you can just talk to Claude 3. You can talk to ChatGPT. Everything's available. And Larry, by the way, I mean, look, you want to do Bitcoin? Do it through Larry. He's got terrific ETFs. So there is so much opportunity. But as he said, Jim, come on. Drill it. Drill it. Tell people they have hope.
So then in the end, do you think the letter this year is really a clarion call to policymakers as opposed to actual would-be clients?
I think that he would like to find a way for policymakers to be able to say schools should be involved in this. But I think that, no, in the end, it's a final note about how younger people have to be taught, and we have to try to make it easier for them. And that's really the trouble. We don't make it easier. Now, there are companies, of course, that offer great 401ks, and those are really ideal. But, you know, Larry is saying it's time to put whatever you can away. Younger people respond, well, listen, food inflation's going up, rent inflation's going up. We don't have the kind of lifestyle that our parents had. They had, the world was their oyster, but not us. And that's what Larry's trying to address. Because if you don't have any hope, you won't put money away for the future. This was an amazing note. So personal. It starts with how his parents and what it was like. And I urge people, I mean, look, he's had a lot of policy notes, and there is some good policy notes in here about energy and need to be pragmatic. We have to try to get rid of fossil fuel. And at the same time, we have to try to make it great because our country has a chance of making it great. He has an infrastructure he bought an infrastructure company that could be interesting for people to invest in.
Yep.
But in the end, they won't invest in it if they don't feel confident. And that was something that Larry, I mean, you know, he and I were having this very soulful discussion. What have we done in our lives? What have we done? And I felt great that I've been to 21 colleges. But then I said, what have I really managed to do other than try to get people like into an NVIDIA or something, which has been great?
Yes,
NVIDIA's been
pretty good.
Been a good stock.
Right, right.
But in the end, it's about, we have to educate people that it is worth doing. If you feel fearful, don't. Feel hopeful a little more than you should and put the money away, because you don't know if you invested how much money you can make. And I felt like a clarion call for the network, or for me, for everybody, to read this note, because we don't really realize how scared the people who are between 18 and 25 are.
Right.
They're very scared.
Well, in the case of Larry's father, who invested in DuPont back in the day, the flow of information that fed you scary stuff was thinner, right?
Yes. And he goes on and on in the note about, I mean, they had nothing. No information, and they just invested, and they did very well. And I think that we can do this. I really think that with the college tour, with I have some high schoolers coming in, but we have to make a point that you're going to lead a longer life, and maybe you got to start thinking about retiring much later, but not because you haven't raised money, but just because we're doing better, longer life. Now, what did he, I mean, he went on last night about the weight loss drugs and how important they are. He thinks, you know, AI, obviously very important. These are trends that can be invested in. He wants people to put away a little bit of money. And I think that for workers, make investing almost automatic is our goal. We have to, I felt like saying to him, we got to shame people. Like, there's young people all over here. I want to ask them, did you put any money away? What did you put away? When I was living in my car, I put away money. I gave it to Fidelity Magellan Fund,
yeah.
And I put money away. If I had $50, I put it away. I mean, living in my car, you save a lot on insurance, man. Boom! That homeowner's insurance yes. went right to the Fidelity yes. Magellan Fund.
There's no plumbing bill.
No, yeah, exactly. No, it's actually like, it was a windfall, but I used a lot of Johnson baby powder. Ooh, man, what that talc situation.
It's worth a read. Everybody should take a look
yeah,
at Larry's
really
letter.
Good, and Larry's a great writer. Larry is, he's a very soulful guy. He doesn't write like anyone else. I found myself at one point saying that I had used with you yesterday. I said, you know, we have to have a pragmatic energy policy. I stole that from him. I said, do you mind that I stole that? And he goes, no, it's good. Okay. That's I want everyone to know.
It's an homage. We'll look forward to more tonight.
Yeah, it's exciting.
On Mad Money. More tactically then, Jim, how are you feeling about the markets as we take aim at some closing highs today?
Well, I think that the market's broadening out. I mean, I think that we're starting to see a lot of areas doing better. Now, you correctly pointed out that the Russell's still not there yet. But let's watch something like a Clorox, which actually boosted numbers but had to worry about the cyber attack that gave information. A McCormick, which curiously is from a Baltimore company, which obviously we have to hope that everything's fine on the yep. Francis Scott Key Bridge. But I just think I want to see this group, which has been under fire, which is the consumer products group, with two bits of good news, Clorox and the very good number from McCormick. Maybe that can offset Hershey and the $10,000 cocoa bill.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jeffries, Jeffries does up Clorox to hold as they exit some Latin American companies.
Right.
McCormick. A great chart is year-to-date McCormick versus McDonald's, which got downgraded at Argus yesterday.
Right.
But people are eating at home more as the price of eating out.
Well, they might go to they might get a
Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme at McDonald's, but no, people. It's a decision to make to eat at home is it's less costly than going out. Even though when you eat at home, you're still blown away by the supermarket prices. But McCormick McCormick does service. They have service business, and that have been hurt by work from home. But yes, this is what you do, and they actually have a generic too if you want to trade down. But this is what you need to cook. And I've learned that, and I'm like a dope. I do some cooking. I made my tomato sauce tonight.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah,
as for broadening out financials, I noticed today Morgan Stanley's Katie Huberty has a good chart on play the money center banks if you believe capital markets rebound.
And how about this MasterCard Visa
yes.
story that Kate Rooney broke today? That could be meaningful. Those stocks could go up. Get that out of the way. $30 billion saving for retailers, but we're seeing some good numbers. Retailers, we had a Gap store note, Wells Fargo. Look at the chart of Gap stores. You will not believe what's happening there. So I think things are broadening out, and I like that. The mega caps are not leading this phase. They're just not. Others are picking up the mantle, and I think that's really fantastic. We got a torch going. Sector to sector to
right,
sector.
Right, passing the flame.
Yes.
There is a lot of news, though, on the Mag 7 front. Amazon expanding pharmacy delivery to a matter of minutes or hours.
Now, this is a Jassy personal initiative. He cares tremendously about this. I find that unbelievable because I think that America is going to embrace that. Do you know that Walgreens reports this week?
Yeah.
If I were Tim Wentworth, I'd be worried about this, the new CEO, because this is one of those things where you walk to the back of the Walgreens store and you end up picking up some Cheez-Its if you're not careful.
Right. This is going to start in New York and L.A., but we'll watch that amazing
response time.
Jassy
felt, when I interviewed him, that they weren't doing enough health care. And it wasn't featured enough on the homepage. He's trying to change everything. Everything to get it faster. In the meantime, what does Lina Khan do, the FTC? She says that they're making it so innovation's not possible. I think she's thinking about the Amazon River.
Jim mentions the Port of Baltimore, which is a major story
yes,
today,
yes.
where the Francis Scott Key Bridge did collapse after being struck by a cargo ship overnight. Our Eamon Javers is on the scene with the latest as the headlines keep coming this morning. Eamon, good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you, Carl. I want to give you some information. We're expecting some new information now from authorities at about 9:30 East Coast time. As of right now, this is still a search and rescue scene. You can hear the helicopters overhead here as they circle around the site of the bridge collapse here in Baltimore, looking for any potential survivors. Authorities had said there were as many as 7 people missing, and there were some people on the bridge when it went down shortly after about 1:30 this morning East Coast time. And Carl, I want to give you a sense of the scale of the disaster that's happened here at the Port of Baltimore. You can see over my left shoulder here in this direction the actual bridge itself, the highway overpass just sort of jutting up into the sky, and the bridge is gone from the horizon. Normally that is visible for miles around. You can see this ship, the Dolly, about a 1,000-foot vehicle packed with cargo containers, port to stern on that, about astern, I should say, on the surface of that vessel, about 7 cargo containers high, just packed. All of that mass moving out of the Port of Baltimore and impacting the Francis Scott Key Bridge early this morning, crashing into the cement and steel of that bridge and bringing the entire span down in what appears to be a period of seconds. So for authorities now, a real mystery as to what happened here overnight, why this disaster occurred, who has been injured, potentially killed in this disaster, and then, of course, the cleanup, how they can get that bridge out of the water. Carl, the way this bridge fell, it bottlenecks the entire harbor here in Baltimore. So there's not going to be any cargo ship. There's not going to be any cruise vessels going in or out of the Port of Baltimore anytime soon until they can get that bridge out of the water. Then, of course, you're looking at the impact of traffic and trucking on the East Coast. That route, the highway over that bridge is 695, not I-95 itself, but a vital regional artery here for trucks and commerce up and down the East Coast. So the scale of the disruption of this event, Carl, is going to be pretty enormous. And we're looking at certainly nothing moving out of this harbor in the hours and days to come. And then once they're able to clear that harbor, an impact to traffic on the East Coast for just a long period of time. It could be years before they're able to get traffic restored, a new bridge built. All of that, as you know, permitting, the process for that takes such a long time nowadays. But we will get some more information here at about 9:30 from officials. We'll see what else they can share with us about what they know now about why this disaster happened. Carl, back over to you.
Eamon, there have been some reports this morning about a potential loss of propulsion. We hope to find out more about that. The market, though, Eamon, rescue recovery is the first and foremost factor here, but the market will begin to look ahead to supply chain. 11th biggest port, but number one in autos.
Yep. Carl, I can tell you, as we pulled in here, just the scale of this facility of the port, you know, you don't necessarily recognize it until you get down here on the ground. And there's just acres and acres of new cars here that have been delivered and ready to be shipped out to dealerships across the eastern seaboard. So the auto industry is going to certainly feel this. There's a lot of raw materials that come in and out of here. There's an Amazon facility nearby here as well. All of that will be impacted, and the length of the impact here is just unknown. That the bridge is massive, Carl, and I can tell you it is in the water right now, listing off to one side. From our angle here, it's listing off to the left. That's a lot of steel in the water that they're going to have to be able to get out of the water in order to reopen this port. Not clear at all at this point how long that's going to take, Carl.
Eamon, we'll look to touch base with you later on this morning after that press conference. Eamon Javers in Baltimore today.
Yeah, Baltimore is a very important part of our infrastructure. People don't realize that. A lot of it was because Bethlehem Steel used to be huge there. That's how it started.
When we come back this morning, the parent of Truth Social begins trading this morning as Trump Media, DJT. In the next hour as well, we'll talk exclusively with Morgan Stanley's chairman and Disney board member, James Gorman, on the proxy battle between the media giant and Nelson Peltz as Squawk on the Street gets started on this Tuesday.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Counting down to the opening bell. Let's get Kramer's Mad Dash.
I'm calling it a Buffalo Springfield morning. There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear, which is the Reddit stock continues to go up. This morning, Newsweek was not part of the deal, comes out and says, look, you got to buy this neutral stock. But, I mean, it talks about no change, $54 price target. Well, good luck. And this stock, once again, is up this morning. Obviously, this deal was placed very well. Maybe when we speak to James Gorman, we ask, I know he's not really, you know, he's going to say, listen, it's up to the right Ted pick now at Morgan Stanley, but wow, this thing's incredible, 95%. By the way, Astera Labs is another one, A-Lab. That's come, and again, people are piling into it. So I don't know, Carl. It looks like we are starved for new companies to own because it's not exactly like the daily average users are flying at Reddit. It's not exactly like the advertiser. Look at this, will you?
Yeah.
This is AI. Does have AI. I mean, it's in the data center. It's real.
Yep.
It's a real company. But, wow, what a time to go public. If you are out there and you want to come public, this is the moment.
I was going to say, whether it's an all clear, some of the call activity on Reddit yesterday has strikes at 75.
This is an amazing situation where there's just not enough stock that's available from these. And by the way, the Reddit, I think the Redditors that got stock, I think a lot of people expect them to flip it. There's no flipping.
When we come back, we'll get the opening bell. We'll talk more about some newly issued names. Trump Media, of course, a trading pre-market up some 35%.
Oh, jeez.
When Squawk on the Street continues.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
This morning, Truth Social, parent Trump Media and Technology Group, will begin trading on the NASDAQ under DJT. Jim, there's a lot wrapped up in here, including the potential for waivers from to sell some of his stake early.
Yeah, and as long as it goes up, I think people will say, whatever broker you could go to, they'll say, look, you know what, I might stock you out and take some money you can borrow. It would be a very hard situation because you would need the faith in the collateral. And this stock is going up on very, very light volume this morning. I mean, really light. I mean, maybe 10,000 shares moved it up.
Talk more about it in a minute. Let's get the opening bell here and the CNBC real-time exchange. And the big board is ATS, a builder of factory automation systems. And at the NASDAQ, it's Fox Corporation and the United Football League. Huh. Speaking of which, we mentioned James Gorman coming on later to talk about media and Disney.
I think that's fabulous. In my interchange back and forth, he's very involved. And I think those of us who know him is a very thoughtful exec. He will provide great intel. I don't think Nelson Peltz, who obviously wants to be on the board, would disagree with that. I think that Gorman is someone with tremendous insight about finance, and I think that they need that.
Yeah, it'll be a nice duopoly of the media stuff and, of course, legacy banking questions,
yes,
too.
Yes, yeah? I do think that the last deal wasn't a great deal. I know Disney hates when I say that, but it cost too much.
Your point on light volume on DJT is interesting as we see the shares rocket higher here. There's also a lot of attention being paid to the light revenue, you could argue, in the first 9 months of last year.
That's a very polite way to put it.
Yeah.
I think that this is a very expensive stock. The people who are buying it, I think it's more like, it's almost like it's a keepsake. That the people who want to support Donald Trump know that as this goes higher, he's able to raise more money. Of course, the amount that he owes was cut back yesterday that he has to put up.
Yep.
So I think this is surprising a lot of people. You can't borrow it to short it. It would seem like a natural short because it doesn't have, as you said, a lot of there's no earnings power. It doesn't even have that much revenue. But I do think that this is something that the higher it goes, the more likely Donald Trump can go to the board and say, listen, guys, you know what? The market wants it. Let's unlock it so I can sell. Now, the board is, some people say it's a captive board. His son's on the board.
Sure.
But that's what if I were President Trump, which, by the way, I am most certainly not.
Okay, thanks for the clarification.
Yes. If I were king of the forest, I would go in and say to the board, people want stock. Let's unlock this. And that's what I would do if I were on the board. I would unlock it.
We'll keep a close eye on that name today. Tesla's up 3% plus, Jim.
Isn't that interesting, given the fact that Tony Saganegi just cut his price target?
Goes to 120 and 93 on a discounted free cash flow basis.
Yeah, I said last night that this, if you're going to get involved, you should get involved at this level. Got a new one coming out. It's not like that Musk is standing still. He's not a person standing still. I also think that the death of the EV is largely overdone, although Fisker was delisted today.
Yes.
Which is very important because I don't know how much staying power that we'll see from Lucid. I think Lucid is one that I visited them, and I just don't think that they have the sales that that can keep them open. Rivian has a lot of sales, and that's very important.
Although yesterday, Mizuho cut Rivian, cut NIO.
Yeah,
big piece in the Times about how EVs got politicized by both administrations in the last couple of years.
It did. I do think that in the end, to quote Larry Fink, we are going to have to cut back on emissions. But we also have to accept the fact that fossil fuels here to stay for now. So we need a pragmatic energy policy, meaning that we shouldn't just jam EVs down people's throat. We don't have the infrastructure yet. I think that that's one of the biggest fears is infrastructure. I remember what Steve Scher said in his departure at Hertz, which is that these aren't loved.
Right.
They're tried and not loved.
Really quick, as we continue that conversation, a DJT paused briefly here for volatility. We'll watch it. Speaking of cars, Jim, the CFO of GM on with Phil LeBeau last hour, saying they're on track for 200,000 to 300,000 EVs this year.
Look, this stock has been on fire. If you look at what Mary Barr has done here, this is one of the strongest charts in the book, and it still sells for less than 6x earnings. So Mary Barr, by the way, is on the Disney board. Mary Barr has done such a great job. Does she get talked about? No. Should she be in the conversation of a broader market? Look at that. That is not a chart of Alphabet. That's a chart of GM. And it's been a huge winner. It doesn't really have much of a dividend. I just think that that Mary Barr pivoted very quickly, made some changes with EV, made some changes, of course, with self-driving and the problems in San Francisco. But she seems to have the cars and trucks people want. Now, Jim Farley, Ford's going to speak. My Chapel Trust owns Ford. It's not been as good as GM. It's time for Jim Farley to tell a great story. And the great story, by the way, are the F-150s and the Bronco. Maybe he'll do it. Maybe, you know, it's not bad, but it's not. I hate Jim Farley, close your ears. It's not what Barr is delivering.
This is all happening at the B of A Auto Summit. We'll also hear from Lear today, along with GM and Ford. Speaking of analysts and conferences, UPS, Jim, with some fresh three-year targets.
Well, I think we want Carol Tomei to do better. We want a duopoly. At one point, the stock was up 5. It's given things back. I think that Raj Subramanian has got to be saluted here. Because he was able to do what so many people want to do, which is take a lot of different unwieldy division silos, like think about Disney silos, and just put them together, and the stock is straight up. This, again, FedEx is what I'm talking about, the broader market. How, when you look at what Raj has done, he is a Superman. He has just done remarkable things. Look at that. Don't you want to be in that? That, by the way, is not Amazon.
So that's the broadening you're talking about.
And it's remarkable and terrific, and we got to celebrate it, not just because Larry Fink made me feel guilty that I'm not doing enough to talk about how cool the markets are. I want to embrace the capital markets. So you embrace FedEx? Who doesn't know FedEx? What, I mean, talk about, like, you go to a younger person, you say, what do you think of FedEx? They say, well, you know, it's really expensive. I don't use it. No! Go buy some. Raj is remarkable. I mean, go over that call. I mean, do you know that the revenues there are awful? They're flat to down. And he made so much money. And when the revenues turn up, he will make a fortune. I want that stock for my Chapel Trust, and I just haven't been able to pull the trigger. Cal Tomei, it's a little more challenged. They took 70% of the business that UPS lost to FedEx because of the possible strike.
Yes.
They kept at FedEx. That's a remarkable figure that heretofore has not been talked about.
Yeah, they definitely pounced when things were uncertain.
They really did. Yeah. They really did. There's a lot of things that are working. We haven't talked about Boeing yet. You know, people keep talking about Larry Culp. I think, Larry, can we let him finish the job, please? Get Furneaux over there. I mean, he was quoted extensively. I wanted to tell Larry, hey, Larry, listen, the more you talk about it, the more people think you're going there.
Yes.
And I just think that he's finally got GE where he can just relax and make a lot of money. Don't charge. Just memo to Larry, will you please take it easy? You're a national treasure. Don't take on some job that's so big.
A lot of headlines is Culp ready for his next challenge.
Yeah,
although Stiefel does say that it's like more likely now that they go for an outsider, whereas before maybe Stephanie Pope was being teed up.
A lot of people are saying that Pope is tainted, and that if you really want to know how to get out of the situation, you pick someone from way, way out of the field. That's why Larry Culp was mentioned so often. Maybe you need, I remember when I did the my show at the Air Force Academy. I mean, maybe we need a general in there, an admiral. Mm. We got to have someone who is, who frankly is unapproachable, you know, so lily white clean, you know, lily white not being, you know, referring to the plan, because I think that that would be great to have someone out of the cultural realm, because they need someone who is so fresh and so clear-headed and so diverse and understanding the problems of all the different constituencies. I don't know. I'd like someone who's way from left field, who's different and not part of this culture. Mm. This culture seems very damaged to me.
Right.
Let's get someone who's fresh and different and tough.
Interesting. By the way, you see the resumption of trade on DJT there, now up some 34%. Jim, in terms of us...
Wow, I mean, look at this, will you?
What's that?
No, the DJT, I mean, if I were Donald Trump, even says it now it's 8 million shares. This is the moment where you say that you have an obligation to release more shares. And I've got shares that I'd like to release.
Yep.
And that's... The board can do that. The board can say no, but the board, I think, if... I'm not sure where Mr. Trump's head is, but this is a moment where he could very easily say, look, the stock's up 286%. No one would mind if I sold stocks, so please let me do it. Now, he may say, I don't need to because he's prideful, but I don't know. I think that no one would begrudge him if he went to the board and say, look, I'd like to have some stock released.
Right. Well, there was a nice piece in the FT yesterday about the ratio of insider selling to buying. I mean, it's fairly bearish, you could argue, but hasn't stopped some of these names from powering higher. Meta's a good example.
Well, I just think if you own stock in one of these mega caps and you're not selling, that it's almost like from the point of view of estate planning, you're being very foolish. Any one of these people should be selling. But when I look at, they all have such faith. I mean, they just have faith in their companies, but they should be selling some, because the movement in the mega caps versus everything else is so extraordinary that it's a good time to be able to raise some money.
Right.
People aren't going to, you know, you raise money when you can sell, when the stocks are really screaming. Don't raise money when the stocks are going down.
Right. Microsoft, speaking of which, gets up to 500 from 475 at Webbush. But he's talking about what he calls a transformational co-pilot monetization.
Well, Microsoft was very much in evidence last week at the GTC conference for NVIDIA. They have a lot going. I also think that it's interesting that the new PC that's AI is being branded a Microsoft PC, not an HP, not a Dell, but a Microsoft. And they're going to be able to put a button on, which lets you go to AI. Yep. This morning I was on ChatGPT, and I do prefer Claude 3, because Claude, which is Anthropic, which has got 4 million, there's a lot of money, it's 4 billion at Amazon.
Yep.
Anthropic is much more conversational. ChatGPT is much more stilted. I always, like, if you hit me up in Claude 3, it's hysterical.
Really? It's interesting that we're beginning to parse different products now.
Claude 3 is dynamite. Now, remember, if you can read Moby Dick in less than a second,
yes.
You can know that if you do Claude 3 is the one that's adopting the Blackwell, I think, faster than anyone, which is this new supercomputer it's much more conversational, which I think is really going to make it so people just say, you know what, I'd rather talk to, this is the existential threat of Google, which I think the Justice Department should start realizing. I'd rather go to Claude 3 and have an intelligent conversation, as I did this morning. I tried to find out more about the MasterCard Visa interchange.
Yep.
I'd rather have a conversation with Claude 3 than I would have a search query with Google.
So you're using it with that kind of frequency?
Oh, yeah. You got to use it.
Like, for example, what question would you pose on,
well,
on MasterCard
I
Visa?
Posed is, on the MasterCard Visa, I posed that, is this the case that's been kicking around since 2005? And explain to me what the consequences could be. And they talked about how they didn't mention the $30 billion figure, because that's a Joseph Stiglitz figure. But they gave me more background than I would if I went to Google. It's really interesting. I'm not using Google nearly as much.
Really?
As I'm. Oh, no, you... go talk to my 29-year-old, and she says, who was like, I had to stop her from Googling her homework, you know? She's, Dad, Google?
Please.
Google, really?
So,
she's friendly with Claude 3.
Does that lead you to think about Alphabet, or at least the search business, in a different way?
Yes,
or?
It does. I am trying to figure out, I wanted to sell Alphabet for my travel trust. Jeff Marks, who's my partner, said, listen, Jim, I think we've got to give it some time. That Apple deal better happen. That Bloomberg broke?
Yep.
Because I would like to get rid of Alphabet, if only just because Anthropic is so powerful. Claude 3 is so conversational. It's what people would call prose, P-R-O-S-E, prose. It's not bulletin board. It's not PowerPoint. It's prose. And I think that once that we get the new computer in from NVIDIA, you're just going to be, and you can talk, you're going to say, look, Claude 3, could you please tell me a little more about what Larry Fink said this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Please summarize Larry Fink's letter for me. And it's going to come back with such a brilliant summary that you're going to say, why did I didn't have time to read the whole letter, but this is perfect.
So were suspicions about, I mean, I don't want to talk about it in the past tense, but were suspicions about Google being behind the eight ball well-founded?
Yes.
Because the shares have looked past it.
Well, they got maybe have the Apple deal, but those are people who have not discovered Claude 3. There's a great video about Anthropic and Amazon with Adam Selipsky, whom I had on for Amazon Web Services, and you'll realize that the leapfrog here is extraordinary. So I am worried about Google. It's very funny because if you read the Justice Department's case against Google, since they filed it, you have TikTok, which is number one. It doesn't do anything with Google. It's number one value, so to speak, of advertising. And now ChatGPT and Claude make it so that you really got to think twice about going to search.
Wow. Somewhat in that realm of mega cap tech names, Jim, Netflix today, B of A takes it off the U.S. one list,
yeah,
and replaces it with Spotify.
They're looking to put Spotify. Spotify had a really dynamite quarter, but Netflix is, whenever you have a conversation about Disney, it's always like, why couldn't they be more like Netflix? And the answer is because Netflix is what we would call, I would say it's streaming native. Just like something's cloud native, like a CrowdStrike is cloud native when it comes to cybersecurity, this is streaming native as a much better view of what can be done. Everyone else is just playing catch up. This is some tape today. We have a lot of stocks. You know, everything that's come public in the last few, since the opening of the window, is really extraordinary. And the one that we didn't talk about enough was ARM. I cannot believe that window could open. Everyone, including me, thought that ARM would be hammered, and ARM is just too close and positive to NVIDIA. The NVIDIA conference lives on. Jensen lives on. Jensen.
Yeah, we didn't even really mention Seagate. Morgan Stanley goes to overweight 115. That implies 30% upside.
Well,
that's a big data center.
There, Seagate is the analog, frankly, comparison for Micron. Now, Micron's been going up endlessly ever since Micron put up that good number. And, you know, Sanjay Mehrotra, I tried to get a hold of him. He was traveling, but Seagate is the hard drive, and Micron's kind of the floppiest way to look at it. Like, if your brain, when you're trying to recall something, some things should be at the top of your head, and then secondly, like, you're trying to think, oh, it's in the back of my head. The back of your head is your disk drive. The front of your head is your Micron, okay? So this is Seagate, and this is Micron. When you're trying
like
to recall
biopsychology.
Things. Like, let's say you were trying to recall whether you gambled on games. Oh, check that. trying to recall when home opening day is.
Yes, yes.
It may not be here. It might be back here.
Krispy Kreme, Jim, we mentioned it earlier, but this partnership with McDonald's expanding. The company says it's going to double their points of access.
Well, I have to tell you that Krispy Kreme has been a rocky road. But this was an endorsement that I think very few people saw coming. McDonald's downgraded yesterday. It hurt the stock. It was the weakest stock in the Dow. Very, very positive for Krispy Kreme. Again, I just find that stock should go. Oh, it's up $2. Things keep coming from left field that are positive, and we just don't expect them. And people are excited about the market, and I share their excitement. I share the excitement of this market.
And you notice what we're not talking about much today. Rate cuts, Fed speak.
What is that?
Eco data.
Enough already with that. Do you think the younger people want to hear that? The younger people want to discover how to make money. And they're looking on Reddit for how to make money. Well, stop looking on Reddit and start buying on Reddit. Look at this Reddit. They priced that. My Steve Huffman, who is not necessarily saluted by a lot of Redditors because he's got the ads all over the place. I thought he did so great on your show. He was a champion. Champion for making money. Good for him.
Yeah, it's after so many interviews about are you going to go public? Are you going to go public? Finally be able to
I
say.
I thought we wore him down and he didn't. He still had to go.
Take a look at Reddit and its short public life. Meantime, Jim's right. Market hanging in there, 52.30. Every sector green except for energy, slightly red. And then we'll watch bonds today. There's some data. We got durables. We got Philly Fed down 18. That was the worst since last spring. Coming up in about 12 minutes, conference board, Richmond Fed as well. Be right back. It's time for Jim and Stop Trading.
One stock that's not participating is Adobe, and that's because Canva, which is an incredible company in terms of a very inexpensive way to be able to do design, bought another company called Serif, which is just another excellent designing company. The younger people can't afford the Adobe Suite. I gave my daughter the Adobe Suite. It's about $600. It's fantastic. And she learned how to do it at Parsons. So she was taught, and it's incredible, and she was amazing. Just amazing. But the way that people who are not, don't have the suite is they're going to Canva, and now they can go to Serif, part of Canva. And this is maybe existential for Adobe.
But this wasn't this the whole reason behind Figma, right?
Exactly. Exactly right. And I don't know what I would do if I was Shantanu Narayen, who has spent so much time with younger people. People feel they have to cut the price of the suite. But the suite's extraordinarily good. You do need to be taught on it, though. If you're taught on it, you can do anything. That's how amazing it is. But if you can't, then you go to Canva because it's very inexpensive.
We'll watch that as well. So tonight, Larry Fink.
Larry Fink, and it's a very soul, it's very soul-searching in a way that I didn't expect Larry to be. But not morose. More of a, like, we got to help, Jim. We got to help get this done. Everybody, all our jobs to get it done. Very exciting, too, though.
Yeah. I look forward to that, Jim. And, of course, maybe we'll hear from him on earnings in not too long.
And I'm going to be looking forward to your show.
Yeah.
Holy cow, Gorman? Oh, my. And if he tries to dodge you, you tell him that I'm coming on, okay?
We got Jim like Marshall McLuhan in the corner right here.
Oh my God. You betcha. You betcha. Right here.
Jim's right. An exclusive with James Gorman, Morgan Stanley chair and Disney board member. And, of course, we'll stay on top of Trump media. Don't go anywhere.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.